Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to quickly turn to Proverbs chapter 18. I was going to start a new message series this week, and as I was praying about the message, I felt like I needed to extend this one more. And I want to see how many of you have the same problem I do. So I have this, we've talked in this series, we've been talking about how to deal with difficult people God's way. How do we handle people who are critical? How do we handle people who are deceitful? How do we handle people who are manipulative? You know, all those kind of things, overly needy. But what do we do if we have someone in our life who is constantly criticizing us, constantly putting us down? See, I had this one person that no matter how good I do, is always criticizing. No matter how good I think things are, they can always be better. And the problem is I have to live with this person every single day because it's me. Some of you are thinking, Amy's not here. No, it's me. I am the hardest person in the world on myself. Anyone else that way? It doesn't matter how good I do at something, I think I could have done it better. No matter how good things are going, I'm always critical. And we have to learn how to deal with ourselves because often we're the most difficult person in the room to us. But we can also take that we talk to ourselves and use those same words on other people. Often the people who are closest to us. So I want to talk today about how to deal with ourselves, how to handle us when we're the problem, and how to handle our words. And it's funny because I heard part of the message one of the last nights at camp. They're talking about this exact same thing. So students, I'm sorry. You're going to get it twice. Maybe God is speaking. I don't know. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. This is what Solomon says. 18:21. He says, the tongue can bring what? Death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I want you to say those words with me. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the what? Consequences. Solomon is saying here, words what? Matter. Words that we say to others and words we say to ourselves. Right? And this is something that, guys, God has been working on me constantly. Because I'm really kind to other people for the most part. All right? People who drive sometimes get unkind words from me that drive poorly. But, you know, I really try to be an encourager. I try to help others out. But, man, to myself, I can be horrible. I can say terrible things to me that I would never say to anyone else. And God really convicted me about that because he said, hey, you're still my child. And that's hard. And so many of us will say things to others that we would, you know, like to hear, but we'll say things to ourselves. And then sometimes we're also the ones who say things to other people that are not helpful. So how do we have healthy words? Well, the first thing we have to do is think carefully before speaking. I've got a thing that someone in the church bought me in my office, and it reminds me a lot. It was a joke, but it says that I don't like to think about what I say. I like to be as surprised by it as everyone else is because I am that about that sometimes. And words just whoop, and I'm like, oh, wait, pull back. And she bought it as a joke, and I love it. I actually keep it up there to remind me to do this. So thank you. To think before we speak. Because we have to understand the power of words, because Solomon says that words have the power of life and death. What does that mean? I can use words to build others up or to what? Destroy them. You know, we always had that thing when we were kids, sticks and stones can break my bones, or words will never hurt me. That is a flat-out lie, right? Because bones heal, words stay with us for a long time. And so Solomon said that they have the power of life and death, and when you love to talk, we're going to reap the consequences. We're going to eat its fruit. So, but in Proverbs 12:18, he says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. In Proverbs 15:4, Solomon says, gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So we have to understand that words have the power to heal people. They have the power to build them up. They have the power to launch them out. But they also have the power to hurt or to crush or to take life from people. How many of you can still remember something hurtful someone said to you years ago? We replay that, don't we? And how many times have we been the one to say that to someone else or to ourselves? So we have to also, before we speak, we need to decide if what we're saying is helpful. There's an old test. If I want to say something, is it helpful? Is it true? Right? We think about those things. So is what I'm about to say going to help someone? And they can be negative and still be helpful, right? We talked about that the first week. We need to listen to constructive criticism. Sometimes people say things that are negative, but they're helpful. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And in James chapter 3, he talks about that our words can set things on fire, just like a wildfire. We need to be careful about what we say. So is it helpful? So is what we say going to help others? And we use our mouth to praise God, but then sometimes we also use our mouth to do what? Hurt other people who are made in his image. And then we need to take every opportunity to build others up. Now, I'm not saying just throw out kindness, you know, that you don't mean it, but build others up. Take opportunities to love others. Take opportunities to build others up. We can use appreciative words. We were out eating last night. Amy and I went out and had dinner last night, and this lady across from us was being horrible to the waitress, just incredibly rude to her. And so Amy and I tried to take the opportunity to say, hey, you're doing a great job. Thank you for what you do. It's a tough job. Thank you. You know, we left her a good tip. And saying, thank you for recommending this. You know, she showed us a new kind of taco. I didn't know that was there. It's amazing. So, you know, thank you for this. So we need to make sure that we're helping others, but we need to be honest about it. So we need to think about it. We should be the spouse that we want to be married to. Say things that we want our spouse to say to us. We should be the coworker that we want to work with, saying things that we would want said to us, right? Be the parent that we want to be. And so I would challenge you to take a word audit. What does that mean? Think about what you say. At the end of the day, stop and think, okay, what did I say today? Was what I said to others, was it helpful or was it hurtful? What was my ratio of complaints to encouragement? Think about those kind of things. So we have to think before we speak, and then we need to take the opportunity to say something kind. So we need to make sure that we take opportunities to not hold back from encouraging others. If I think something encouraging, this is something I try to do in my life. If I think something encouraging about someone, I try to say it. Don't just think, because if it stays up here, it doesn't help anybody, right? But if I think it, I should say it. And again, mean what you say. Don't just flatter people, but mean it. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So we shouldn't hold back from encouraging others, but here's the hard part. We should not hold back from encouraging ourselves. How many of you work on something and it doesn't turn out good, and what do we say? Ugh, good grief. I can't do anything right. Good grief. I should just hire somebody to do this. Man, do you do that? Is it just me? I do that, right? Especially if I smack my knuckle with a wrench. I usually jump around and cry for a few minutes, then I'm okay. But we have to encourage each other. There's this incredible passage in 1 Samuel chapter 30. In verse 1, it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived at their home in the town of Ziklag, they found out the Amalekites had made a raid, and so they lost a lot of their people. So they went and they found them, and they realized what was going on. And it says in the last part of that verse, David was in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughter, and they began to talk about stoning him. That's not a good situation. Listen to what it said, but David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength in God, and he encouraged himself. And then in Psalm 43:5, David said, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So guys, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, I'm a good guy, everybody likes me, those kind of things. I'm saying encourage ourselves in what? In the Lord. Take that time to encourage ourselves. Hey, God put me here. God has something for me. God gave me this family. I can do this. God gave me this situation. God gave me this position. So encourage ourselves in him like David did. We're saying what God can do through us. And then we should speak what we want to see. Now, please hear me. I am not doing word faith. I'm not talking about, you know, say it and it'll happen kind of thing. But I am saying this. We need to speak what we want to see, because here's something I've saw. My wife and I were youth pastors for 8 years. And one thing I noticed is a lot of times students would rise to the level of our expectation. If I said, hey, you can do this, I trust you, I believe in you, they would often do it. But if I said, yeah, you can't get this, you're too young, you're not smart enough, you're not bright enough, guess what? They wouldn't. And we would tell parents this, hey, tell your kids what you want to see in them. Call it out in them. Hey, you're a great leader. You're going to do great things. You're going to do well. I believe in you. Those words are incredibly powerful. But guys, we do the same thing to us. We need to say, you know what? God put me here. I can do this. It's called changing your soundtrack. There's a great book if you like to read. John Acuff wrote a book called Soundtracks, and I've mentioned it before in messages. But he says the playlist that goes in our head is typically what's going to happen in our life. What we believe about ourselves and about God in us is what we can really do. So if we believe God can do it through us, we can do that. So we need to, in Matthew 21, Jesus says, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it'll do it. Craig Groeschel says, if you want to change your world, change your words. And so we need to make sure that we're praying and we're saying what we want God to do in our lives. Lord, I believe that you can use me to change my workplace. Lord, I believe you can use me to change my school. Lord, I believe that you have good things in store for my family. And we need to say those things, right? Okay. All right. I know this is a fun message, right? I told you we'd get better. So what are some practical steps to healthy speech? Well, I want to get really practical here for a moment, and then we'll wrap up. First thing we need to do is know when to stop talking. I had a professor once that told us, never miss an opportunity to shut up when you're preaching. He said some guys need to just end their messages early and go home, right? Proverbs 17:28, this is one of my very favorite verses. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. Ever known someone like that? You're a really smart guy, and they start talking like, oh, no. So we need to understand that we have power in what we say. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just stop talking, because we all have this filter between our brain and our mouth. Some of ours work better than others, right? I have a secondary filter called Amy that sits down here. And sometimes you'll see her on Sunday mornings doing this. I mean, stop, right? She's not here today, so we're in trouble. But we need to understand that sometimes the best thing we can do is just not say anything. Did your parents teach you that old saying, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all? We need to sometimes say things, but sometimes we need to just not. And it's amazing, right? And we need to realize that our words indicate what's in our heart. Our words indicate what is in our hearts. So guys, what comes out of our mouth is coming out of where? Here. And so if we want to change our words, what do you have to do? Let God change our hearts. And so let's give me a challenge. And listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. He's speaking to religious leaders here. He says, because a tree is recognized by its what? Fruit. If you see apples on a tree, it's a what? Apple tree. If you see a pear, it's a pear tree. Jesus is saying, we are recognized by what comes out of our mouths. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored in him, but an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. So our words are fruit of what is coming out of our hearts. So here's the thing, guys. If we really want to allow God to use us to encourage others, if we want to allow God to build us up, we need to allow God to change our what? Hearts. And so sometimes this is a prayer we need to pray, Lord, would you change my heart? And I've told you this story before, but I'm a very sarcastic person, if you haven't noticed. It's a gift I have, right? And a curse. And so I like to just make little sarcastic comments sometimes, but I've had to learn to control that because I realize they can be what? Hurtful. And I remember one time as a youth pastor, I was joking around with a student and I just made a sarcastic comment, totally joking, but he took it seriously and it absolutely destroyed him. And it took a long time to get that student's trust back. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I was like, dude, I was totally joking. And he's like, I know, but I could tell it really hurt. And I told God that day, Lord, I need you to change my heart because I don't like what's coming out of my mouth. And it's been something that sometimes you'll hear me go, and that's, I'm tamping down the sarcasm, right? But we have to understand that it's what's in our heart. So I said, I can't just change my words. I have to let God change my heart. And I'm still doing that to this day. We need to allow God to continue to work on our hearts because that's what's going to change what comes out of our mouths. And we need to pray for God to use us to encourage others. And so I love so much what this team said about France. Our team was such an encouragement to them, but they were such an encouragement to us. And we wanted to make sure that we were encouraging them with what we said and the things that we did. I love this verse in Psalm 141:3. I pray this a lot. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, would you watch what comes out of my mouth? And this is one I pray all the time, Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So if we want to change our marriage, what do we need to do? Change the way that we speak, right? If we want to change our family structure, if we want to change the attitude in our house, we need to help work on what we speak. So I want to give you guys a challenge. Say something nice every single day to your spouse. Some of you think, ooh, right? And I'm not saying flattery. I'm saying really say that. I probably told you before, but I had a professor in college. Amy's mentioned him before. His name was Dr. Burl Bess. Still one of my favorite people on the planet. He does premarital counseling for students, and he would always say, every one of us guys, he would catch us, and he'd say, I want you to tell your girlfriend every day how pretty she looks. And you mean it. And he said, and if you don't, I'm going to tell her. And he was an older guy. He could say that and not be creepy, right? He was everybody's grandpa. He said, I'm going to find your girls. I'm going to tell them they look nice. And if I tell them before you do, you're in trouble. And so we would literally, we'd be sprinting across campus in the mornings to find our girlfriends. Like, you look so nice today. And they're like, what happened to you guys? I'm like, Dr. Best, right? But he would find them. But you know what? That's still something many of us do today. We still try to do that every day. Because what does it do? It changes the tone. So find something you can say about your spouse. Do the same thing to your kids. Hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, I love you. Hey, great job on that. Hey, way to pick up your socks. That was incredible. You know, I mean, anything like that. Find something to say that's kind and uplifting. So I'm going to ask you, if you're physically able, would you stand this morning? But here's the other challenge. Every day we need to say something encouraging to ourselves. And I'm not talking about, oh, you're so pretty or any, I mean, if you need to say that, that's great. But what I'm saying is, hey, you know what? Lord, would you use me today? I know I can do this through you. Lord, I know you've called me. I know you have me here for this. I know this is the family you've given me. This is the spouse you've given me. Help me to do my very best. Use me today. Help me to be encouraged. So Lord, I just pray all across this room, all of us watching online, that you would help us today to be wise with our words. Because as Solomon says, our words have the power of life and death. And Lord, we want you to use us to bring life to others. God, we want you to use us to build up our spouse, to build up our kids, to build up our friends, to change our school, to change our teams, to change our workplace through your power. But Lord, would you also help us to encourage ourselves, to not say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to others because you love us just as much as you love others. So Lord, help us to do that today. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you say, you know, Pastor X, you've been talking about this relationship with God. And if I was to be honest, I don't have that. But I want to start that today. I want to begin a relationship with Christ. I want to ask him to forgive my sins and to make me new. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you're at? We just want to pray with you today. Or if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor X, I need to watch how I talk to others. And God is working on me to be more encouraging, to build others up instead of tear them down. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Yeah. If you would say, you know what? I need to talk better to myself because I'm always putting myself down and I want God to use me. And to do that, I know that I need to talk better to myself. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Yeah. So we're just going to pray. And if you want something special prayer, you can come down to the front. Someone would love to meet you here while we do this last song. But Father, right now, I just pray all across this room, would you help us to be wise with our words, Lord, to build others up, to build up our family, to build up our spouse, to build up our kids, to change our workplace, to change our football team, our baseball team, our basketball team, our golf team, Lord, by the way that we speak. God, would you use us to change the dynamics in our family? But Lord, would you also help us to speak better to ourselves? Because, Lord, we know that you've called us to do work. And, Lord, help us to do it through your strength and to believe what you can do through us. In Jesus' name.